Damn, my girlfriend would go to the gym, and she's like, "Yeah, your buddy was training a dog outside the Chelsea Pierce."
Oh, Justin, that's so do you cool. train comics on how to do proper impressions? Because that was literally the worst impression of a woman I've ever seen in my life.
Purposes only. You'd be an idiot to listen to anything these degenerates say. Invest at your own risk, do research, but seriously don't listen to these ass clowns. Now enjoy Cash Daddies.
Welcome to Cash Daddies. We're banking fatties. How are you guys? How is everything? Joining me as always, live from WeWorks, Jay Nice, Juicy Johnny, Johnny Woodard.
A lot of work goes down in WeWork, buddy. A lot of hard work
going on. Dude, that guy never stops grinding in the back. That guy has to be employee of the month.
All of Future's failed startups are happening right here in WeWork. Get ready.
Okay, and joining us in front of the China, how we do we bump, 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 bump.
You want to see me break some of this China? I think I may
Let me think. No.
It's been one of those weeks, baby. We're breathing. We're alive.
Real quick, can we get into some shit real quick? Do you guys mind?
I love shit, dude. Let's go.
Let's get into some stuff real quick, if you don't mind. I watched Air last night about Nike and signing Jordan. Did anyone watch that?
I saw it, yes.
I've heard it's great. I want to see it.
Johnny, your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was enjoyable because it had a lot of North Carolina content.
Do you feel like it was one of the greatest
sports movies
ever?
I don't know if it is. Is it a sports movie is what I would wonder. It's more of a business movie that happens to be in the sports industry, I would say. But it's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
If you loved it so much, why don't you marry it?
Because you can't marry a film. Sam, doesn't really make sense.
So I enjoyed the movie. I do not see it as one of the greatest sports films of all time.
No.
I'm just going to be honest with you.
What's your favorite? Hoosiers? You like Hoosiers?
Hoosiers is exceptional.
Most overrated piece of shit. I'm the only, all my friends are like, Hoosiers was a great. I'm like, it's the most bullshit.
Hoosiers was amazing. Okay.
I like Bull Durham. I think Bull Durham's up there.
I like Bull Durham.
For sure. I thought it was amazing.
Slapshot's my favorite of all time.
And then, I mean, there's a lot of great movies out there, bro. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of great
movies. Does Raging Bull count as a sports movie?
I think that's 100%.
Is pool a sport? Because if pool is a sport, then I got to put like The Color of Money. I like that movie.
Yeah, so I 100% believe all of that. But here's my problem with this
Rocky
movie.
Rocky IV, please.
Here's my problem with this movie. I just felt like, one, I felt like those guys weren't acting. They were just playing themselves. And two, why didn't we get to see who was Michael Jordan, who played Michael Jordan? That was the weirdest part of that movie.
I can explain that if you want, because I heard Affleck and Damon explained that they thought that Jordan's face is so famous that anybody they got to do it just wouldn't stack up to the man. You know what I mean? It was almost better to keep his face hidden.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like that answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, me too. It's funny because my girlfriend had the same complaint, Sam. Like, why didn't they show Jordan? But
I just think it looked, I thought it was just like unnecessary.
Unnecessary. He's too famous, man. He's too famous.
You find anybody that looks like Jordan,
dude,
he's going to be 5'7".
Yeah.
You're going to try to make him look bigger.
Guys, somebody played Muhammad Ali. Nobody said that. Nobody's like, oh, he's too famous.
Well, dude, he looked. Will Smith, when they got him sorted out with makeup and stuff, he looked like Muhammad Ali. It was impressive.
It was great. It was fun to watch. So that was it. I just wanted to see what your guys' opinion is of that.
I think they could have taken a swing like they do on the Winning Time show where they just take an interpretation of the player, you know, and make it like, but Jordan's just, he's even more famous than any of those guys on that team. Even Magic, he's more famous.
You know, they should have gotten to play Michael Jordan, Jimmy Butler, since he's his long lost son that nobody knows about.
Jimmy Butler, he could play. He looks like Jamie Foxx's fucking identical twin.
He might be able to play Jamie Foxx because nobody knows what's going on with Jamie Foxx right now.
Is he? Suppose he's
riding MIA or something.
Great.
Is he in the jail? Is he not in jail?
Does anybody even know what the fuck was wrong with him?
No, I have no clue.
Yeah, genital warts. We don't know what happened to him.
It's crazy. Anyways, how's your week, guys?
I'm not gonna lie, man. It's a rough week. This is a rough week. The market's making no sense. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy right now. There's no traction either way. Waiting. This debt ceiling situation is weighing a little bit more on the markets. I do think they'll get it done quicker, sooner than later. But nah, man, it's a crazy fucking week. Not a great week.
It's just chaos. And every aspect of everything is chaos right now. Just chaos.
I mean, yeah.
How much does it have to do with the debt ceiling situation, Howie? Anything?
I think today it finally, you know, the Dow was down 330. NASDAQ's down only 22, but that's because four stocks were up. When you got Apple, Google, Amazon, and the hell's the other one? The other big one. When those four are up, that's the whole NASDAQ. So you got a lot of Home Depot came in, shit the bed. In a way, it's good. It kind of means housing prices made lower because, you know, the earnings weren't great. The future's not looking great, at least in the next 3 to 6 months. So that tells us that, you know, the housing market may open up a little. Prices may drop. Hey,
I mean, of course I'm watching, and I'm seeing houses going under $1 million out here. That would normally be 1.2.
Well, put an offer in the other day, Sam, on a house. 625, it's a fixer-upper, needs a lot of work. 625, things were looking good. My girl called me about an hour ago and said, yep, somebody came in and just gave him 700 cash. It's over
with.
Question
is, who is that someone?
700, it's like, and I said, they're idiots because, you know, house needs a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, do you know it was a person or could it have been a corporation?
Could have been. Actually, the corporation came in at 480 cash last week, and the owner of the house said, fuck you. And they came right out and said, you know, we're either going to rent it or flip it. We're not going to live here. So that seemed more like it could have been the corporation. But there's a lot of weird shit going on, man. It's damn tough. It's tougher to buy a house today than probably any time in the last 100 years. I think so.
No, well, 100%. And you just listen to these people. They're like, when I was 20, I bought a house. You're like, what is going on here? I mean,
there's no inventory
out here.
There's no houses to buy. You have conglomerates of people with tons of cash coming in and buying houses that are available. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I do think if we have a nice little soft recession, I think prices will come down. Things will get back to normal. That's what I'm looking for, man.
I feel bad for all these people that were just running to grab a house and they bought at such a high level.
Yeah, happens. You know, they'll be all right in years. It'll eventually, real estate has gone up forever, like the stock market. But yeah, right now it's weird.
It is very weird.
There's a house right down on the lake I'm on right now, and I heard it's going for sale. Guy said to me, he said, what would you pay for it? I said, yeah, you know, I don't know, 450, 500 at the most. You know, it's not that big. 2-3 bedroom. And he said, yeah, the guy's putting it on the market next week for $650. And I'm like, you know what? Some dickhead from New Jersey or New York will probably just toss some cash and buy it. I mean, who knows? It makes no sense to me. It's crazy.
The whole thing is just absolutely crazy. And, you know, they've been talking about, like, you'll own nothing and love it. Like, that's what this sounds like to me. You'll own nothing and love it.
Yeah, it's a weird time. You just got to stay positive. Something will open up. Markets will get back to normal. I mean, luckily we got companies doing funny shit right now. The whole Budweiser thing.
Real quick, before you go into that, because I know you got a giant rant. There are videos right now on YouTube saying that BlackRock is in deep trouble because of all these houses they bought, and it's not looking good. What are your thoughts?
You mean it's not looking good because the prices, the actual the worth, the house worth is declining?
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, people can't afford the rent anymore. They over leverage themselves.
I mean, that's possible. I don't know how much but remember the whole portfolio, the actual amount of retail housing for houses for families to rent. Remember, it was really small, like 5 to 7% of their whole. BlackRock, man, BlackRock owns billions of dollars in commercial real estate. That's their bread and butter.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Like, nobody's renting. That was it. They got all this commercial stuff. Nobody's renting commercial.
That could be where they're screwed.
Yeah, that's it.
Because if they own a bunch of high-rises in Manhattan, and those high-rises are 18 to 20% occupied, because who the hell's going to work anymore? You know what is funny? You say that, Sam. BlackRock came out today. And they mandated that all their employees have to show up to the office 4 out of 5 days, work days. That's the first company I've heard do that. You know,
imagine saying that.
Tesla did that
5 years ago. Imagine saying that had to be mandated 5 years ago. Like, what is this world we're in? Hey, you guys, you got to show up to work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that had to be put down.
You got huge companies who people are still working at home.
Crazy.
So, you know, Manhattan's empty. You walk around Manhattan and like, we, you know, it's empty. So that could be a problem, Sam. That could hurt him.
Where's all the traffic in LA is just as bad as it ever fucking was. Why aren't we getting that benefit of all these people working at home? It seems like they're all just dicking around and driving. Shit.
Is it still bad?
Yeah, the traffic's terrible. Crazy. Anyway, so the BlackRock thing, I mean, it's really, Howie, is it? It's kind of hard to know what's going on with them until they tell us, right?
Your best bet on them, just look at that stock price.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the stock price on BlackRock, and if you see that thing start to really decline, there's problems. Wall Street knows way ahead. The stock's trading at, I mean, it's trading at $633. It was at $531 in October, so it's up. But, you know, you're looking at 2 years ago, it was at $900.
Crazy.
So, to Sam's point, the stock does look like it's dropping here. 645, and it looks like it could go lower. So, that could be a situation. Definitely. It's not kicking ass like it has in the past. Put it that way.
Hey, guys, real quick, we want to talk to you about Copy My Crypto. That's right. Guys, listen. We've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto. But did you know it's easy for you to do the same? That's right. The Copy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy them. It's like having a big brother who knows what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest, as you simply do what he does. So let me tell you about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which, despite heavy censorship, and we know a lot about that, has over 26,000 subscribers. Since March 2020, he told his viewers to buy 26 crypto coins. Had you put in $100 into each one, it went on to be worth $123,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, went up 692 times from when he said. That one call alone has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. Remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to YouTube and verify for yourself. So if you'd like to join the 2,800 members who copy James, then stop what you're doing and head over to copymycrypto.com/Sam. That's copymycrypto.com/Sam. That's S-A-M. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but my listeners get full access for $1. That's right. Our listeners get full access for just $1. Once again, that's copymycrypto.com/Sam. The recession is here, guys. You can suffer like everyone else or choose to thrive. James is a real deal. Go visit his site now. And I think some of this ESG stuff that people are starting to wake up to, they're starting not to like it.
When you say that, Sam, you say ESG, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but what does fucking Molson Coors do 1 month after Budweiser? They come out with, what's her name, some chick going, hey, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but women have been making beer for hundreds of years. Don't leave us out. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and now they're trying to say it was a joke. Like, we were just joking. Like, you're like, it's stupid. It wasn't so like, and I have nothing against that. Like, some people are like, her special wasn't funny. I have nothing against her. She can do whatever she wants. I didn't watch Broad City. It wasn't for me. So, but it had a nice run on Comedy Central. But it's a joke. Ad. Sure. It's a revisionist history again.
But the actual commercial is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
The notion that women would be upset that men pay them to wear bikinis and have pictures taken of them in 2023 and that being seen as sexist in 2023 when, again, I just did a big rant about this on Conspiracy Social Club, but it's like, when you can see girls' buttholes now on Instagram, like there is whole
Twitter
Instagrams now where women do bad hot chick comedy, where they're like, it's like, mom, have you seen this thing? It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. Mom, hands up. The girls lift it and then they shake their boobs and the kid goes, ew, mom, gross. And you're like, I don't know why that's funny or I don't know where that took off. But like the shaking of the boobs comedy,
it's funny. I've never seen it. We just have such different Instagrams.
I wish I had your Instagram. I don't know how to restart my algorithm. I really wish I could.
Here's what blows my mind. Algorithm. You go to a bar in a city on a happy hour on a Friday. You still got the Molson girls. You got the Bud Light girls walking around, you know, broccoli hanging out of their bathing suit. This shit still goes on. This is how they sell beer. And here's the other thing that drives me nuts. They got her doing the Miller Lite commercial. I sat there and I talked to one of my buddies. I said, over your past 30 years of drinking, how many women have you ever walked into your house party and said, hey, do you guys got Miller Lite? You ever seen a woman drink a fucking Miller Lite? I have. I lost 3 out of 5. I lost a couple bowling matches in a bowling lane, and that's what she was drinking. She was a bowler. Then we shot pool. She had like a little bit of a mustache. She was like 230. She could probably bench fucking 300 pounds. She drank Miller Lite. That's about it, man. You don't see girls drinking Miller Lite or Bud Light.
Women drink Miller Lite when it's free and it was given to them at a house party. That's the only time they drink Miller Lite.
And they're 20.
Miller, can we just get the quote from a spokesperson from Molson Coors? Because it really pisses me off. This video is about two things: worm poop, and saying women shouldn't be forced. Forced is the word they chose to mud wrestle in order to sell beer. Like they were just rounding up women on the streets and throwing them in studios in front of lights, making them take their clothes off. What are they talking about?
It is so insane. By the way, just so you know, each one of those bikini girls went to an audition and they whittled it down. And those were the ones that won
with their fingers crossed
who didn't get the gig. And they were upset.
Yeah.
That's stop. Stop with it, dude. Stupid. Not today. Not ever.
If anybody was forced to do anything, it was probably those poor actors who had to pretend to be microbrewers there in that the commercial that they did put out. All those women, you know, like, hey, I'm just growing hops here, you know. Come
Apparently
on.
Women who grow beer are miserable. Like, did any of them look like they were a fun time?
No. Like, they were all pissed off. They were angry.
I gotta make this beer. They're just
grinding their teeth constantly, you know, about the patriarchy. Just like, oh, fucking patriarchy, fucking motherfucker.
Oh, man, I gotta make this microbrew. God damn it.
Yeah, it's just it blows my mind. And, you know, I mean, a tap, Molson Coors, it's a stock that's fucking done really well over the past year. Like fucking Bud has done really well, even though it's some dipshit. Fucking tweets. Hey, Sam, tell Howie to stop lying about Budweiser, Bud Light, the stock price being hurt. Dude, all you need is a pair of eyes and a calculator. That's all you need to figure out.
Yeah, it is crazy.
If I'm right or wrong. Because Bud, B-U-D, which is the stock, there's no stock called Bud Light. That's what I've seen articles and papers like Bud Light stocks taking a hit. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. It's a foreign fucking company in Belgium that owns Budweiser. Nothing American about it. And the stock's gone from 45. It went to 45 to 66. Now it's down to 59 and change.
It's still up year to date, by the way. It's still up
year to date. It's up from January 1st. It's at $60. It's at $60.10. And I actually looked at it, and I mean, if it hit 58, I'd probably buy some. It may bounce here. I don't know. But the stock is absolutely kicked ass. It has a 1.3% yield if it does nothing. That guy's like fucking. It's like, tell Howie, look at it. All you got to do is look at the stock, get a calculator, do the numbers, man. I don't even own it. I don't own it.
So the question becomes, Howie, if we're being told that they're what's the word I'm looking for? The amount of money
sales,
they're making.
Bud Light sales are down though. Now we should
Bud
say
Light
that.
Sales
we
are
know
down.
That. We know,
but yet their stock is up.
Listen,
up.
God, this is a quick article from 11 a.m. this morning. It says data from Circana shows that while the decline in brand volumes doubled in early April when the controversy first started, the rate of decline is slowing to a standstill. Bud Light sales have gone from being down 27% to 27.7%. While
that's
the headline number of nearly a 30% decline in sales volume is alarming, it does seem like the numbers are trending in the right direction for Bud Light. Maybe Coors helped that. And it says the flagship Budweiser brand also took a sharp hit, though not as bad as Bud Light's. But the sales decline for that brand, as well as the company's Mich Ultra, Busch Light, Natural Light brands, they've already reversed and they're headed back up. So this basically is saying you can boycott all you want. But look, man, you live in America long enough. How long does the average fucking boycott on anything last in this country?
Yeah.
We get pissed for about
like
4 weeks.
It just people move on to other stuff. Yeah, and that's why then they just go grab their old Bud Light like they used to or their Budweiser.
Here's how they fucked themselves, though. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You saw the story from the Chicago Tribune. They fucked themselves from both sides because they didn't even stick to their guns once they made these
decisions.
Gays
hate them now.
They apologized for it. Now the gays hate them. This is the story from the Chicago Tribune. Chicago gay bars dropping Bud Light Goose Island amid backlash for transgender ad campaign. And I've seen a few stories like that around the country. So, I mean, it's obviously the ESG thing, Sam, because it doesn't make any sense as business strategy. I mean, it just doesn't as marketing. It makes no sense.
So what you're saying, Johnny, is that it looks like ESG credit is more lucrative than actually pushing product.
I guess so, dude. I guess so, man.
Sam, I think that's what they thought originally. They got to be looking at this right now like, okay, we got ESG. We lost our momentum. Sales are down for a little bit. Jeez, should we really make this fucking mistake again? I mean, look, the way it works in the business world, in the corporate world, it's all about money. It's all about money. That's what it comes down to. I think this is going to hurt this whole social justice shit. I really do. I think it's going to hurt.
What will be interesting is Gay Pride Month and what goes on during Gay Pride Month.
Dude, they'll be drinking Bud Lights out of each other's assholes in the West Village. I've seen
it. Welcome to Cash Daddy's Financial Advice Show.
Dude, I ever tell you, this is about 10 years ago when I first came.
This is not a financial advice show. This is, we just talk about the markets and you make your own decisions. Do your own research. Don't listen to these momos.
I was bartending at a place called the Riviera on 7th Avenue. And they said, Howie, do you want to come in and work Gay Pride? It's a lot of money. And I showed up, myself and two other guys, the bar, when I say packed, I'm talking, it was packed from 10 in the morning until they shut the bar down at 4 in the morning. And I'm just slinging drinks. And you know what? Gay Pride's awesome because most of these motherfuckers have money and they tip. So we're crushing it. We're just having a good day making money. And I'm busy as shit. I'm sweating. About 4 o'clock, this guy comes up and he says, can I get like 2 vodka tonics? And I turned around. You know what he was wearing? A pair of Chuck Taylors and a sock. That's what he had on. He had a sock on his dick tied with a rubber band and a pair of Chuck Taylors. And that's at the point where I stopped. I gathered myself and I was like, holy shit.
Like, I am turned on. Is that what you said to yourself?
Okay. No, I was like, where did that credit card come from, man? Like, where are you at? Like, I immediately just freaked out and I was like, where do you pull this thing, man? Like, I didn't want to sniff it because that would have been a little weird. But it freaked me out. Like, but my buddy who was bartending goes, yo, how? Ask him where he's keeping that card. And I'm like, yo, made about $900 in tips that day. It was a good day, but that freaked me out. I had nightmares about that shit for like a week. You know? Somebody with no clothes on gives you a credit card. That's your first thought. Where'd he pull that?
Yeah.
All right. So,
fair enough.
Also in the news, new CEO for Twitter. Any thoughts on that, guys? Because I just had a tweet for me go viral. 5,000 likes. I've never had anything. Very few tweets I've ever done have gotten. I think I've had one go 10,000 likes.
What was that tweet, Sam? Tell us about it.
Which one? The one
that
just went
viral. Yeah, the one that just went viral.
I was just talking about all the conspiracies that come true, and then
I saw that.
Nobody, but yet we're wrong about election rigging. You gotcha. So it just went huge. It went really big, and it's unbelievable. So I mean, we'll see what happens with this new CEO. She's straight out of the World Economic Forum, and we'll see, man. This was an interesting choice for Elon Musk. This is him kind of playing ball, in my opinion, which is fine. You can play ball, but you're going to kill.
Did you see though the people she follows on Twitter? It was all of the same people we follow. It was like a long hit list of like, that's why the left's pissed at her, because she follows a bunch of the, you know, let's say,
we'll see how it goes, man. It's going to be interesting.
Extreme right wing crowd.
Sorry to cut you off, guys. I've been doing that a lot lately, so I owe you an apology.
It's Zoom, dude. It's impossible to time it. It's all good.
I've been doing it in person.
You can say whatever you want about Elon. Elon made a decision, and he got a CEO in there fast so he can get back and deal with his stock Tesla, which has gone from 200 down to 167 over the past 3 months. That's his bread and butter. That's what he needs. He doesn't have time for Twitter. So I give him credit. Elon Musk, he's a goddamn good businessman. He is. Unlike these fucksticks over at PayPal. PayPal is a billion-dollar company. They own Cash App. The stock went from 77 to 66 or 63 in the past week. Do they have a CEO? No! They haven't had a CEO for I don't know how long. And if they don't hire one quickly, the day they hire... That's why I bought the stock 2 days ago. It's like, hire the CEO, the stock will go up 10 points. It's amazing how these big companies are just so fucking irresponsible. How do you not have a CEO?
How do you not have a CEO?
You got to have a captain. You got to have a captain. There's a reason there's generals, you know?
Yep.
You got to have a guy in charge.
Speaking of PayPal, by the way, I know we talked about this, I think, probably around tax time, but the IRS is being lobbied, and the government's being lobbied, sorry, because the IRS made changes this year to bring down the reporting limit for things like StubHub, eBay, anytime you just sell stuff to other people, from $20,000. That used to be the reporting limit, down to $600. So basically, grandmas like selling their furniture, you know, for a little extra money, now have to report to the IRS. And they have to do the math on whether the value they just sold it for is greater or less than the value they paid for it. They got to figure that out, which is almost impossible sometimes. And then if that value that they sold it for is less than what they paid for it, of course, you don't get a deduction. You have to make offsetting entries in your taxes, which just, it's complicating the shit out of everything. I just wanted to say fuck the IRS once again.
I just can't believe we put up with this shit.
Me either. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It's so annoying. You know what they called the bill that made this change? The American Rescue Plan of 2021.
Yeah, they love coming up with that. It's the exact opposite.
The American Rescue Plan. That's the thing that's going to fuck you on.
American, or it's always got freedom in it.
It's crazy.
The U.S. crazy. Freedom Bill.
They're working on rolling it back. A few senators and Congress people are working on it, but we'll see. They call it the Coalition for 1099K Fairness. That's the group that's lobbying to get this thing changed. We'll see, but anyway.
It's crazy. Hey, when's our guest coming?
I don't know. Send the email.
Yeah, 4:30. Yeah, it should be soon.
It was supposed to be.
Oh, real quick. I'm going to listen, dude. I'm in Mississippi at Jackson, Mississippi. I'm at a black club. My buddy booked me in a black club. Please come and see me. I'm going to be at Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm going to be in Baton Rouge.
That's a cool town, dude. Jackson, it's nice. I've been there a few times.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's got a college. Got a college here.
Is that where Mississippi State is?
No. Jackson State, I believe.
They love Mississippi State down there, though. They're,
who
they're,
doesn't?
They're addicts.
They all love Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Yeah, it was... It was an interesting
place. Go samtribly.com for all of your ticketing needs.
That's the real South, Jackson.
Baton Rouge is wild, too.
Baton Rouge!
The football stadium takes up 90% of the city. It does. It holds like 290,000 people. It's fucking... I drove by it one time. It's like there's clouds below it. The thing's huge. That's all they give a shit down there.
Google had their big I.O. event this week, and they're taking their swing at AI now. That was all they talked about, you know, other than their hardware reveals, was how they're moving into AI. They're integrating it into Gmail so that you can tell there's going to be a little button at the bottom of the Gmail thing, and you can say, hey, can you help me craft an email? And one of the examples they use where you ask for a refund from American Airlines, and then it just – so basically – and then I heard –
how we got robots talking to robots?
Well, that's exactly right. The CEO of Google was on a podcast today, and I listened to the interview, and he was talking about how it's probably going to end up, and he hopes it doesn't, but that it's going to be AI talking to AI, and basically the AI is going to know the key words to say to trigger the other AI to give you a refund, ideally, for the consumer anyway. But isn't that wild? I mean, this future we're headed toward?
No, they're meeting in Congress every single day. But, you know, it's like anything else. I correlate it to the pollution problem in this world. Let's say we pass all kinds of laws and we restrict AI in the future. We don't want the robots taking over. Do you think they're fucking doing that shit in China?
Oh, hell No.
They're coming up with robots to fucking look. Anyone you see that looks like Howie Dewey, fucking just put a bullet right in their forehead. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. So we can do all have all the restrictions we want over here. We have nothing to do with what other countries do. It's like pollution. You know what? We're going electric. You know, fucking don't throw your straw away. You think they're throwing their fucking straws away in India with their 17 trillion people? Hell no. Those kids are fucking, you know, snorting everything they can with those straws and just tossing them right in the river. I don't know. I've never been to India, but.
Also, we have a happy birthday to send out. It's 100 years for Henry Kissinger. I saw him on the news this week.
He's still alive. 100
years old. Still alive, yeah. And you know his big issue is? AI. He's really concerned about AI. He was talking about it.
Henry Kissinger is concerned about AI.
Yeah. I saw him. Ted Koppel. They sent Ted Koppel in to interview him. And we're going to talk about it on Broken Cinema a little, Sam. But Ted Koppel, of course, asked him about the bombing of Cambodia. And Henry Kissinger did not like that very much. I'll just say that. But yeah, so that's he's on top of AI. Yeah, that's so his big
I don't
issue.
Know if our guest is here yet, but no. I want to get into another sports money story. The Peacock Network paid $110 million for one game.
Crazy.
For one game.
NFL.
And I believe
NFL.
It's a playoff game, right?
NFL, yeah.
Did you see...
But one game, 110 mil. So the question is, how much is this? Could you see the Super Bowl become a streamed event? And what would that cost?
They got to stop this shit. They got to stop this streaming bullshit. I want to know the there is a professional sports team. I don't know if it's not Cuban, but one of the owners in the city said, fuck that. We're not streaming our games. We're putting it on local TV so everybody can see it. Look. I've said this before. You go into any sports bar in New York City tonight to watch the Toronto-New York Yankees game. Could you turn on the game, sir? Sorry, we don't have it. It's on Amazon. Yeah, we can't get that here. Commercial establishments are not allowed to stream. They can't. They can't stream. They just got to get what the hell's on the DirecTV. So you can't. You can go to a bar in New York and not watch the Yankees. I crazy. Can't even wrap that around my head.
What are we doing?
Yeah, guys, today at 5 p.m. is the NBA draft lottery.
I cannot wait, my friend.
I hope you get it, Johnny. I hope you get it.
Just give me a top three pick. That's all I'm begging for, a top three. But you know,
Johnny, would you do ball for Morant? John Morant?
Oh, yeah.
I think someone's going to be able to get that guy.
Yeah. Hey, dude, we have the fourth worst winning percentage in the history of the NBA. We have had one number one overall pick, the Hornets. Isn't that crazy? The fourth worst in the history of the NBA, and we've had
Larry Johnson with that pick.
Hey, I'm not gonna. I can't talk ill of the great LJ.
I love him, bro.
Grandmama is my man, dude. I love him.
The Nick, baby.
Yeah, he's the best.
Wish he had stayed a little healthier, but I love that guy.
All right.
What do you think about them handling Ja like this? The NBA. I mean. You can say what you want. It's immature to be flinging a gun around a car and everything, but is it against the law? I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, people think I'm nuts, but it's like season's over.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I was him, I would get rid of everybody in that crew. You're gone. Don't call me no more. You totally fucked me.
He's got idiots hanging out with him.
I mean, he's an idiot. Like, he is no longer going. I mean, they're going to make this out to be more than it is. Somebody's going to try to take Ja from him. They may be dumb enough to get rid of him.
I think he's in a market where they're okay. They'll let this slide.
Yeah, it's Memphis. There's a lot of people with guns.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Everybody in Tennessee's got a gun, man. Like, you can ride around.
It's Tennessee, man. I don't even think you need a permit to have a gun. Like, there was no – if I was him, I'd sue the fuck out of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, all those states. We have to go to Alabama in, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or something? And I'm a little worried about Alabama, man. I mean, backwoods Alabama, there's some shit there that you just haven't seen.
You live in New York. There's nothing in Alabama that's scarier than what you see in New York now.
Yeah, you don't even need a permit for concealed carry in Tennessee.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
We're just walking to a McDonald's and I'll have that. Give me that.
Yeah. So I don't know what the basis is. He's out of season. Yeah. I mean, everyone's just losing their mind. Oh my God. Can you believe it? You're listening to these guys on NBA radio. Oh God. It's like, dude, who cares?
Makes you wonder how much it's just those idiots though on NBA radio. Right. And not regular people. I mean, do you know any regular people who are like,
see nobody.
Come on, Ja.
Going, oh my God, the world, why in this day and age is this guy doing this to himself?
It's ruining my faith in democracy. Oh my God.
21 years old, 22, you're going to do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Good point, Howie. They are young. We forget about it. They're young millionaires. I mean, come on.
I was just thinking about, you know, Miley Cyrus.
Guest is here, by the way, fellas. Guest just joined us.
Okay. I was thinking about I got to grab a coffee real quick. Real quick, we're going to bring in the our guest, and we're going to have a great interview with Justin Silver. Bam. All right, guys, very excited to have this guy on, man. I always love gigging with him. Whenever I do any Legion of Skank stuff, he's always there crushing it. Good-looking guy. He's got a great podcast called Himbos with my boy Josh Anmeyers. Please welcome Justin Silver. How are you, buddy?
What's up, boys? Good to be here with y'all. Thank you
How's
for having
me. Life, buddy? You're such a good guy. It's always a pleasure to see you.
I appreciate you, Sam.
No problem, buddy. I do. I always love seeing you because whenever I see you, it means we're in the middle of some fun stuff. So tell us a little bit about your podcast and where our listeners can find you.
We have – so Josh and I will do the bonfire a ton, and it just kind of came up as a joke, like Jay and Dan just being like, oh, Justin and Josh are such himbos. So they called us up, and they're like on air. They're like, new idea for a podcast hosted by Justin Silver and Josh Anmeyers, the Himbos podcast. And we were like, dude, fuck you. And I was like, you know, none of us take ourselves too seriously. So I was like, dude, this is like legit shit that like we're both into, like fitness shit, mental health, like well-being, the kind of stuff that like everybody does, but maybe isn't so vocal about. Cause like in comedy, it's just like, it's not, you know, it's cool to just be like a schlub and a piece of shit, but no, like none of us are really like that. Like none of us are really like, you know what I mean? So we started
I feel
doing
like the. Go on, sorry, buddy.
No, you go, go, go.
I just feel like the Himbos podcast, if we had to go, who has the best looking podcast groupies? Himbos could probably be in the lead. I mean, because you guys work out, you're confident, you know, you bleach your assholes. You guys are
Dude, I shave my toes. I shave my toes.
Women appreciate that, dude. Women appreciate that. I occasionally like to get a Brazilian done, get my b-hole shaved down, dude. I get it. I get it.
Yeah. You can show that on camera. We have a Patreon.
I wish.
Sam, you're Armenian. No. You got to do that shit like twice a day.
Yeah, that guy gets the weed whacker going.
Yeah.
So, Justin, you're a successful comic. You're on the road. You're crushing it. You got a great podcast. But word on the street, and the streets are talking. You also have a business where you train dogs. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where our listeners, again, can find that?
So I'll give you the first stuff, obviously, like all the comedies that I am Justin Silver, and then like the Himbos podcast, there's YouTube, you can listen to it anywhere. There's a social media podcast, Himbos podcast on all social media platforms. But I've had everything, like I've written best-selling books on dog training. I've had primetime TV shows on CBS. I've trained dogs for like 25 years from here to like Hong Kong. I've had TV shows in other countries for it. And that's like those two things have always paralleled each other. And it's kind of cool that like, you know, I think the reason I got my TV shows was because they like, not only do they need somebody that's like competent with dogs, they also need someone that can like carry a primetime show. And then like, and then I have Funny for Fido, which is like a charity I have. So we do these big stand-up comedy events and all the money goes to the rescue shelters and everybody's done it. Like Seinfeld's done it. Jim Gavigan does it. Attell does it. Schumer, like everybody's done that show, which is like an awesome thing. We bring all like the rescue dogs on stage and like all the money just goes to the shelter. So I've just always had like a green thumb with dogs. Animals just always, all animals just make sense to me. You know what I mean? And like just all the things that you would, I mean, really good dog trainers don't go to school for it. It's just kind of a natural thing. Just like, you know, athletes, of course, have trainers, but you have to have just like a prowess and an athletic ability, or like same with any art form. It's just an art form. So,
do you like cats?
What?
Do you like cats?
Yeah, I love all animals. I'm good with snakes.
But what have you witnessed a dog?
With snakes?
I'm good with all that. Like animals just make sense to me, dude. They've always just made sense to me.
Yeah, well, I got to go over to Sarah Chacon's apartment 2 weeks ago, and
he's got the pythons.
I haven't been right since. I've had nightmares. He's got 11 different snakes in his living room.
Yeah, I'm not big on
snakes,
like wild animals that are like in captivity. Maybe he knows better than I do. I'm like, I like domestic animals, like in domestic places.
You like cats. Your expertise is dogs. I mean, that's what you're the dog whisperer. But if you witnessed a dog eat a cat right in front of you, would you just be like, you know what happens?
That doesn't really happen, but
yeah,
that doesn't really happen.
I've seen it happen.
You've watched too many cartoons.
No, when I was a kid, right down the road, this white dog just went over and snapped a kitten up and snapped it. And I'm not going to say what happened to that dog a few weeks later, but it did happen in front of a lot of people. The owner watched it, and I was like, damn, I didn't, you know, so, some dogs just flip like that.
Yeah, I don't know if they flip like that. Like, they're, in my, like, dogs need a vocabulary. They need, people do this stupid shit. This is what drives me crazy. And I think the reason that I've been successful is because I'm like a big mouth and I'm vocal and I'll walk down the street and, like, you live it. Listen, dogs are trained the worst in New York City. Because you have people like anthropomorphizing them to like the just to the nines, and like we're in crowded spaces, and people like they're like they get this animal and they place him in this human based world, and they're like, how come he's doing this? And I'm like, what's their vocabulary? And they're like, and then once you hear the I'm like, here we go, right? I'm like, they're taking in information because it's the same as kids, like you're training them either directly or inadvertently through your behaviors always, right? So if I give a plate of pasta to a kid and I never teach him how to use like a fork and a spoon, when there's fucking spaghetti all over the walls and his eyes are poked out, I'm like, how come he didn't just know how to eat properly? Like, love you that. Have to show them how to do this.
How pissed you get when you're walking down the street and you just see a bad behaved dog just like barking, trying to fucking snap at people.
That's sort of that would be 50% of them. But like, you know, I have like my big pit bulls and like my little dogs too. They all walk off leash. And like, if I say left, they'll go to the left side of me or the right. So that we like, I teach clients how to like walk between the raindrops. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's what we call it. We're like, we'll teach you how to navigate around this minefield of people who just don't give a shit so that you're not one of those people. And so like, there's people I'm generous with because you could tell they just don't know any better. And you could see they want help. And then there's people who are just like arrogantly in their own little bubble. And those people, like, you know, I don't hate those dogs, but I'm like, those people, like, they're not doing anybody a service. And I'm like, I have such a judgment from them. It's one thing if people don't know how, it's one thing if someone's like overweight and they're trying really hard and they give a fuck, right? It's another thing if someone's just like a slothy pile of shit and they're like, like, there's a difference between those two things, man.
So, yeah, no, I agree.
So this shit is a financial podcast in the sense that we want to help our listeners learn how to grow their own business, take control of their finances. And it sounds like you have a wonderful business going. What were the first steps you took to kind of form this business that you have right now? What was step one for you?
So here was the deal. Like, I've always worked for myself. I had like a supportive mother who was very artistic, and I was never going to function well in like a scholastic environment or a 9-to-5 job. That was never going to be in the cards for me. So I was like, as a kid, I would like draw portraits to make money. Like I would even draw people's dogs. Like I was a really good artist. And then from there I got like, I was a chubby kid who like couldn't run a straight line. And then I got really into fitness and I was like, I'm going to become a personal trainer. And then within like, you know, that bit, you're working in a gym environment, right? But you're still like an independent contractor within there because like they have to pick you, you know, and it's like a bunch of fucking hookers lined up at the bunny ranch. Like you're sitting there with your tits out. You're like, they got to pick you. So it's like, you're running around talking to people and selling them. And like, even though like what you're saying is genuine and there's like honest value to it, there's still like a salesmanship to it, which all of us do well because we're all like public auditors. So that was really easy for me because it's like, what's like, if someone's hiring a personal trainer at like a regular gym, the difference between this one or that one is like, you're going to get, like, if you work hard, you're going to get the benefits, period. Right. So they're buying your personality. So because I kind of got fed up with like dealing with people and like a lot of their like complaining, I was just like, you know what? I started walking dogs in my neighborhood and all the best people I know who do this. And like, listen, there's like, everyone's going to know Cesar Millan because he had the TV show, but like that, like the people that are like expert at this are like the levels above of that are so high. You know what I mean? So.
Although I will say Cesar Millan has one of the best stories. The guy, I mean, came over from, they called him Dog Boy in Mexico and all the kids made fun of him because he grew up just like hanging out with dogs. He was dirt poor. And he had to get ferried across by these coyotes, almost died crossing into Mexico with nothing. And now he's got an empire. This guy, if you're interested in like bootstrap up from your bootstrap stories, check out Cesar Millan. The guy's got an amazing story. It's crazy.
He does. And then Will Smith helped him out a lot. And we've been, you know, we've been on things together. Like, he's a, I'm just saying in terms of like, that's the only person people think.
Totally,
like,
totally.
People who invest in this are people like you've never heard of, right?
Yeah.
And they make a fucking fortune. Because if you're good at this, you'll make a fortune. Because there's always, like, the pet business, if you look this up, I think it's $72 billion right now per year. It's one of the, it's one of the biggest industries there. I think it's right under automotive. It's huge. So,
one of our stocks, one of our stocks that absolutely kicks ass is Chewy.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think
I mean,
so.
That fucking, god damn it, that stock, you know, now they're, you know, they deliver right to your house in New York City. It's huge.
Huge. Like, there's like 9 boxes outside of my hallway right now.
So you do to spread the word. One day you say, oh, I'm gonna train dogs. I have this affinity for working with dogs. You're just a trainer, whether it's people or dogs. You're good at training. Okay.
I'm good. I know how to do a lot of things, and I'm good at explaining things, and I'm good at being like, here's how to get from A to Z. And it's also like, when people hire, like, I'm not waiting for them to be like, hey, I'd like to do this, or this. I'm like, hey, how does this sound? This is what I believe you need. And then you, like, place it in front of them. And I'm like, because I know what they need to begin with. Like, you don't even have to hear their conversation.
How long have you been doing this, Justin?
Professionally for 20, shit, I'm old, man.
With the dogs?
22 years.
So was there a time where we could walk through New York and we'd see, like, a flyer on a light post with you and your headshot? Being like, let me train your dog. What's your number?
I'll explain. So because I live in Chelsea and, like, I had really difficult dogs and, like, I'd always be outside training them. It just happened organically because I started this dog walking round, right? Which, like, you're talking about 15 years ago, you could charge $30 an hour per dog and you could do up to 30 a day. So do that math.
Oh, my God.
So, and that's low. And then as a result of being good with them, these people were like, how come my dogs are so good when they're with you? I'm like, okay, well, I'll start training them too. And then I started getting recommended in my neighborhood. And I'm telling you, there's people who have businesses that are much bigger than mine in New York City. And those are all through, like, Google advertising. It's all from their advertising. I've never wanted to do that. I'm like, everything I do is, go ahead.
Let me stop you real quick. For the readers, listen to this. What he's talking about right now, we talk about this with all kinds of business, whether it's pressure washing, whether it's painting, whether there's contracting. He just gave you the definition of cross-selling, and that's what he did. He started off walking dogs and then ended up training. That's cross-selling, and all that does is just, it helps your business multiply immensely. So, you know, you start with one thing, next thing you know, you're cross-selling into training dogs, and next thing you know, you're making more money. So that's what
How about this? So also, people need overnights. They need all different types of care. And I don't like having any overhead, right? So I don't do any, and I'm like, here, they're like, do you have a training facility? We're going to do this. And when I was doing this on CBS, they're like, well, where's your facility? I'm like, we live in the real world, so we do this in the real world. So I've never had overhead. And I think it's more efficient to do it that way. And dogs need to learn in the environment that they live in. So it's like a dog learning how to do a bunch of shit and behaving in a training facility is like an alcoholic staying sober in an AA meeting. It's like, it's when they're, like, in the real world that it matters.
Right.
So if you think about all the services that you would need, overnight care, boarding and training, I would just hire out different people that do that in this neighborhood. I go, how much do you charge to do this? And they're like, I don't know, $50. I go, okay, I'll oversee this. I'll also put the insurance on this. I'll charge the client this much. I'll oversee it, and I'll still pay that person their rate. So I have all these people in the neighborhood that, like, I vetted, that trust me. And so I, like, there's all these people, like, with no overhead, just in their apartments, make all this money. And it's like, the service is, like, top tier, and it's boutique. So I'd rather, like, have a select amount of clients that I really give a shit about, as opposed to just, you can do this in a way where you, like, mass produce it out. But in my opinion, I'm like, I'd rather people be like, you are paying for a boutique service and I really give a shit. And I've had television shows where I could have just put this, I could have made 20 times the amount of money. It's also about, like, putting a cap on success at a certain amount where you're like, this is where I'm comfortable. This is the amount of money that takes care of me. It lets me do these other things. And it's like, if I wanted to scale it, I could scale it. But with social media, all through pandemic, everybody got these dogs. So I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I was just like, I will do virtual sessions with people. In the neighborhood, I'll drop prices down in half because I've always given a shit and, like, wanted to help people. Like, the integrity of my business has always mattered. The people that have these giant dog training companies in this neighborhood, like me and the other people like me, always train their dogs after. And for however big that is, on Yelp, you'll see as many one-star reviews as five. You'll never see that with mine because it's like, it's all word of mouth, and that's how I want to keep it.
That's what you just said, word of mouth. Holy shit, especially in New York. Sam, we got a lady. What lady? She's a girl. She's 32 years old. She went to Columbia Law School. I see her 3-4 times a day in our apartment complex. And you'll see her walking out with 6 to 8 dogs. And I bullshitted with her one day. I go, how long have you been doing this? She goes, I was a lawyer for 3 years for a firm. I didn't like it, so I started doing this. I've been doing this like 4 years. And I'm like, I always see you here. She goes, yeah, I do this complex and the one across the street. That's it. She goes, like, I don't have time for anything else. And I said, how well did you do last year? She goes, I did better 2 years ago, pandemic. She goes, last year, she goes, I don't know, I probably made like 150, 160.
Oh, that's low.
She said it was a bad year.
Yeah,
she goes,
that's low.
She goes, right after the pandemic, she goes, I'm not kidding you. She goes, I did work a lot. Because a lot of people were leaving out of the city. They're living down. She goes, yeah, I made like 230, 240. I go, timeout. Walking dogs?
Did you literally call a timeout?
Call a timeout. Just like that, with a T. Yeah. I was like, 230? She goes, yeah, walking dogs. That's what she does. She goes to our apartment complex and the one across the street. And she said, she goes, I've been asked to walk other dogs. She goes, I don't have time. I don't have it in my schedule.
But the thing is, then you hire other, like, listen, you know how many people that I've hired who, because they've had, a lot of people just have a green thumb at something, right? If you give like financial advice, there's the guy who like gets it, right? And you're like, they could actually do this, right? So I have clients who've gotten so good at this and they'll do, like, I have people who sell cars. I have like lawyers who are like, I'm sick of doing what I do. And I'm like, okay, you can apprentice me because 50% of these I'm not going to want to do, and you can be qualified to at least do this amount of them, and then I'll always be there to like help you out with the things that you can't handle. And I've always scaled it in a way where like I've seen businesses scale where like where they just scatter and the quality control just goes to shit. And with something as like personable about this, it's like the personal, certain businesses are like a personal touch business. They really are. It's like a people business, and like when it's people's animals, they're more sensitive about their animals than they are about like their spouses sometimes. Really? And so like the fact, it's so true. And so even when I did things over social media, like over the pandemic, I was like, I put two dogs down. I was pulling dogs out of the ACC, out of the shelter, rehabilitating them, raising money for them.
Oh, that's
for
so
like,
nice,
for health ailments they had. I raised like $15,000 for this pit bull in a week who had like holes in his mouth. Oh. And as a result of people seeing, I was like, hey, here's how I'm caring for this sick dog. Here's the food I'm feeding him. Here's how I'm training him. It's like thousands of people just started watching this shit. I would have like 93,000 people on in like a 45-minute like TikTok thing, just talking directly to camera. And I was like, there's ways
That's
to monetize
amazing.
That. It was. And there's ways to monetize that where it's like, you know, you can get money from TikTok. But the way I did it more where I was like, hey, if you want to do one-on-one sessions with me, here's how to apply for that through my website. Or if you're in New York or in LA, I'll do those. Cause like, but if you're talking about like, how would somebody do this? And you could make it as big as you'd want to make it.
That's incredible.
Let me ask you a quick question. You're walking dogs. You've been doing this forever. How about when you were first starting out, you're walking 6 dogs. You ever lose one?
No.
Reason so I'm saying that. Cause last week it was coming down Barrel Street on a bicycle. Yeah. Screaming white dog. He lost one.
We see that all the time. We invented this. Like I went to this company that makes the straps that people hang from like the telephone poles from, those clips. And I go, could you make this at 1 inch thick and make this buckle the size of a normal belt buckle for me? And they were like, yeah. And then we would get carabiners and like, so all the dogs would be on leashes, but they're clipped to the walker. So I'm like, there's no, and like we use the collars that I use that dogs can't slip out of. And I'm like, here's the safety protocols because dogs are always 3 feet away from traffic in New York City. But I haven't walked dogs in like, 15 years at this point. It's like, we have people that do that, which is great. And they're all people that like, I can name every single client that we have.
How many clients do you think you have?
Currently in training?
Yeah.
Here, hang on. Talk here.
Yeah.
So
okay.
This would be The current client list would be about 160.
Holy shit.
That's including like online, like virtual and shit.
Yeah,
it's like
amazing, dude.
Damn, my girlfriend will go to the gym and she'll come back. She's like, yeah, your buddy was training a dog outside the Chelsea Pier.
Oh, today. She see it? Oh, she goes, oh, she see. Yeah, that I do a lot of shit. I do a lot of shit by the pier because it's like an open space.
She always sees you there.
Justin, do you train comics on how to do proper impressions? Because that was literally the worst impression of a woman I've ever seen in my life. That was the worst.
Justin, let me ask you this. What's you're walking dogs, you're trained dogs over the years. What's the worst shit you've ever seen a dog take?
Mine.
Like, you got to have one. You gotta have one situation where you bring a dog back, you bring him in the apartment, and the dog just
No, mine. I had like when dogs pass something, you know what passing means? When they're passing something through their system, they shit blood. So I've had dogs, like I've woken up in the morning and I'm like, it looks like there's been a fucking crime scene on my carpet. I should start this business. I figured out a way where if dogs like I've had to do this so many times where if dogs like shit all over the rug, I figured out a system on how to do it yourself with like water and towels. I swear to God. Wait, I have a client who this is true. You want to talk about a business? I'll give you a guy. My friend Joe Zago growing up, right? He was like this fucked up kid. He started a home carpeting business. They're called the carpet guys in Detroit, right? This guy's made millions and millions of dollars. He does everybody's carpets like in all of Detroit, right? He was telling me how like when dogs shit, how they use like these power washes to clean stuff up. I go, Joe, I want to show you how I do this. And I showed him how he does it. And he goes, we figured out a system based on the way you clean dog shit off your carpet. And now we employ that in our business. That's how well I know
that's
this.
Amazing.
Dude, I'll that's give you that amazing. Guy. You should interview him, dude. That guy's he's like on those signs where it's like, the carpet got those cheesy sides of the.
we'll do three rooms for $39, and that fourth room is going to be about $4,000. But yeah,
if you have a business that you give a shit about and you're passionate about, and there's like a skill set, if there's a skill set, you can talk about that thing all day, and like the confidence of like I never have all like I see people on the street, I'll just be like, hey, you want me to show you how to fix that? And they'll be like, no, we're just walking. I'm like, let me just show you this really quickly. All right. And not only because I can't, like if you have something that you know, like people will, the word's not, they'll turn it over to you and they'll like surrender to the fact, they're like, let me let this, they'll let you help them. Because if you actually give a shit about something and you're passionate about something and you come out with them with the idea that like you're giving them information. And I've never done this.
I love that.
Like, let me do this to try to sell this person. But I know I'm like, if I'm like low on clients, all I have to do is this. I go outside with Brutus, that big pit bull you saw. I train him on the street. So he does all these like cool position techniques. Or when I'm doing training, I'm like, I just do it at a time of day when people are walking by and people are like, what's your car? I'm just like the language of dogs on Instagram. I'm just sharing information that I care about. And it's like, or I'll post something. Like all my training sessions that you see on Instagram are just ones that are happening where I'll take the client. I'll be like, here, just hold the phone really quickly. And I'll be like, how to fix this problem. And then the next day there's 50 emails. I'm like, I saw this thing. I have that too. I've never done things in a way where like, let me go try to rack in as much money as I can. I'm like, no, this is something I like to do. I'm great at it. I can make a living at it. I want to help people. And it's like, it's never been an effort. Like there's legwork in it. You know, there's the heavy lifting of actually doing something. Just like when we're doing comedy, there's the fucking travel. There's like you're physically putting shit out, but yeah. You're not like, this was really hard and emotionally painful. You love doing
it. Yeah. So let me ask you something. I'm blessed. I do very well at podcasting. I love podcasting. I'm super indie. I like doing the road. I'm much older than you. I'm 50, right? So
Sam?
Yeah.
You're
50.
Years older than me.
You're
52? I'm
47. Yeah, I'm 50. So I'm a couple years older than you, but
I love you. Go fuck yourself, Sam. I was fishing.
Do you look great, buddy? You look like you're in your 30s. Seriously. You could probably still bring young 20. Those days are done for me. Unless they have mental illness. It's done for me, right? But my point is this. Do you find that because you have this income coming in that the desire to go on the road has been affected at all? Or no. Do you find yourself wanting to go even harder on the road?
So the curse and blessing of my life is that I got so successful at this. Like, acting and performing has always been what I've done. And the fact that I've been able to do like Train Dogs on TV and I've done like every morning show in the country is all from like the ability to communicate. It's the same thing that all of us do, right? And when my dog business has gotten really successful and I was like known as like the dog guy, I started to resent it because I was like, it's taking away from this other thing that I really love to do. And if I wanted to, it's like I could put, I was talking to Schultz about this, like, because I trained his dogs in the pandemic. And he's like, why are you not putting out like YouTube videos like this stuff? And I'm like, here's why. And I started doing it. And they were some of the, he said, he was like, these are some of the best produced like videos I've seen like this done. And I'm like, you could, to be really great at more than one thing is difficult.
Yes. And we all can't be Jamie Foxx.
You cannot. And like Jamie Foxx isn't even Jamie. Like there's things that he's better at than other things. Right. And I was like, you know, if I was going to do this like whole hog, I wouldn't live in New York City where it's like weather's I'd go do this in LA where it's the best place to do it in the country, probably. Right. And I was like, but when I did that, like after I had my TV shows and I was just like, you know, world famous for this, I missed this other thing that I did. And so the balance of those two things has been really hard for me on like a personal level. That's why I said, like, I think about like how much money I leave on the table by not making, like, I could make millions doing this if I wanted to. Like I do well, but like, I'm like people, some people be like, you're crazy to not do that. You could live anywhere you want. You'd have a clientele anywhere you want. I'm like, right. But there's this other thing that I like love to death that I bleed for. And so the balance of those two things, these are like personal choices where it's like, I can't live in a way where I'm like, this thing would just make the most money because like, okay, like my, you know, instead of this room being 20 by 30, it'd be like 60 by 40. And I'd be like, and that, like, you still have to do the things that you love to do. You know, you still have to do the things that you like, that your heart wants to do. And so I've been like, you know what, this is like the level that I'm comfortable at where I still have the time. Like, I'm grateful that, like, you know, today is like all podcasting. We just did two episodes of Himbos. Now I'm doing this with you. It's like, and then I'll like, if I want to work later, I'll work later. I don't have to. I could do it all tomorrow. I love that flexibility.
Here's a big question. Here's the huge question. This is where everyone wants to know. You got your own business. You've been doing this a while. You're making good income. You got a side gig. You got comedy. One thing you don't have a 401k. You don't have a 403b. You don't have an employer matching the shit out of you. So what are you doing for retirement? What are you doing for retirement?
Buddy, I'm Jewish, dude. Like, I know how to do all. Come on, homie.
You got a SEP IRA, you got a Roth IRA, you got
no.
IRA.
So the way I do it is I have Roth IRAs. I have it automatically just deducts from my account. Like, there's so many. Like, my whole family makes. Like, my mother hasn't worked since she's like 40. So I learned how to do this stuff like really young.
And you say you're Damn. Jewish, but so wasn't a lot of Bernie Madoff's fucking clients.
That's true. So the way I do it is like I have Roth IRAs and then I have different accounts. The way I look at investing is like, good investing should be boring. Like, I know these things are going to go up like 8 to 12% a year. And I'm like comfortable with that. And then like, if there's things that are riskier, like I made money in Bitcoin, like everybody else did. And I'm like, here's the riskier things that I'll do. But the majority of things, it's like making sure a certain amount of my income goes into mutual funds that are pretty like diversified. One of those is a Roth. One of those is just like a basic, an individual account. And I don't look at it. I don't touch it. Like, I just leave it there. And so like the plan is like at a certain point, like you're in New York City, it's like, you know, investing in like a piece of real estate that you Airbnb it out. That'll be like the next thing that I do for like a bigger bang. But for the slow burn of like, here's the security of where I'm not getting matched by like a financial institution like the company. I'm like, you have to educate yourself and learn how to do that yourself. And I fucked up. Like, I used to do the thing where it's like, nah, man, I don't have to pay my bills right now. I'll just like get the late fees. And then I'm like, you know, now like doing all like the credit repair, making sure that I like take out credit cards, pay them on time, like, you know, like not living above my means. And then like, here's the important thing is like making choices with like where I spend money. Because like when you have a bunch of money in your account, you're like, oh, this is all expendable. And then it's like, I'm like, what's more important? Like the little thing that I want right now or like the big thing that I'm fishing for. And so I've made it like, if I make like a chunk of cash, right? like, let's say it's like, you know, I just, me and Jay, I just did like Jay's theaters, right? And so he like, he handed me a bunch of cash, like Big Jay. And I was just like, oh, I can go buy this, this, or this. Or I'll like,
max you know, out your Roth.
You, yeah. Or you can do the thing where you're like, wait, here's this thing that I really want. Like, this is going toward that house I want upstate. And I'm like, it feels better to not like get that dopamine hit of like the immediate like shopping spree than it does to be like, wait a second, there's this bigger, awesome thing in the future. And then you like, I've like tricked my brain into like feeling good about saving while not living like a scotch.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't live in the cheapest area in the world. It costs about six times more to buy a burger there than Oklahoma. But if you max out your Roth, and I mean, you have your own business, if you have money on the side and you start a SEP IRA, those are things that in 20, 25 years, you know, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in there. And it's going to be easier.
The Roth is weird because it's like that $6,000 cap is just like too. So I have like different I have a SEP, I have the Roth, and then it's like the individual, like I have all these like different accounts, and then I just make sure, like, you know, you have to balance, like there's all these little benefits to each thing.
But the SEP is beautiful for you because you can put 30,000 plus in a SEP, and basically that's deducted from your salary. I mean, you have a big year, you make 200,000, you max out all your shit, you actually only made 130. So put you in a little lower tax bracket, helps, you know.
I didn't know the SEP works the same as a Roth. I think I forgot this.
Here's the difference.
Please.
When you take that money out of your Roth, you're not going to pay a penny of tax on it. When you max out, say, a SEP, let's say you put $32,000 last year into a SEP IRA. You can invest in anything you want, mutual funds, stocks, ETFs, anything. Sure. But the thing is this, that money you put in your SEP, that's deducted from your salary, not a write-off, it's deducted from your salary. If you made $200,000 last year and you put $30,000 to a SEP, your account's going to tell you, we're going to start at 170. You only made 170. So that's why it helps taxes. You don't get to do that with a Roth, because it's already pre-tax.
Is it best to have both?
Pardon me?
Is it best to have both?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right? Because you're going to max it. If you max that Roth out, you know, and all of a sudden you have like a big weekend or a big month, and you got a chunk of change, you can put that into a SEP IRA. Here's the other great thing. You're talking about buying a house. First-time buyers, if you need much, let's say you need a little bit more money for a down payment than you thought, you can use that money in your SEP or your Roth. There's no penalty on it.
Right. There's no penalty on certain things, right? Like there's a 10% penalty once you take out.
First time home buyer, no penalty. You can use your money in your Roth, your SEP. If you had to use it down, but no penalty. You can put the money back into your Roth. You don't get hit with that 10% fee, that 10% penalty. That's the good thing about it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. But no, you seem like you got most of that shit together. That's good.
I'm learning it. And like, it's so easy to think like short-sighted.
Yeah.
Especially it's so easy to think short-sighted and like not think about the future. But like, as I get older, I'm like, dude, like you know, that shit's important. They have that cool show and it's such basic shit. They have like that new Netflix show, like How to Get Rich. And it's just like, it's nothing you're not saying right now. You know what I mean? But it's all basic common sense, like investor 101 stuff that people just like, they have 20,000 credit cards. They're maxed out here. They go on these like Amazon shopping sprees. And it's just like, you know, God forbid their car breaks down. They're fucked.
I don't make this up, man. When I worked on Wall Street, this is a true story. I had two doctors and I had a lawyer and I'd see them once every 3 months. They would come in and these guys, they were paying their ex-wives. They were paying the $600 a month lease on their Mercedes. You know, they would have IRAs, maybe $100,000, $150,000. These guys were in their 40s. And I had a plumber come in one time. This dude was a plumber. He was a plumber. He was 42 years old. And he had a stack of statements like this. And he's just giving them to me. And I mean, my eyes were lighting up. I was like, where did you get, how do you have $550,000 in here? He goes, well, I had so much money from a couple of the gigs that we did. I just put it into an annuity. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Why don't we start this for you? This dude could have bought out the two doctors and the lawyer five times over. He was a plumber.
But yeah,
he lived in a house like $110,000, $120,000 house. His trucks were all paid for. He wrote the trucks off his business. This guy had money out there. He's a plumber, man. And you know, the thing about plumbers is, I said this before in the show, I said, how do you make so much money? He goes, you know, I have weeks where I make good money and weeks I don't. He goes, but, you know, if it's Thanksgiving and I'm sitting around my table with my family and the phone rings and somebody, wealthy neighborhood, their shitter exploded and the pipes busted. And they're like, any way you could come over and do this now during Thanksgiving? I'd say, you know what? Absolutely, I'll do it. But when I show up, I want to check for 10 grand. And I'll probably have to charge you $200 an hour after that. I was like, are you shit? He goes, I've never had anyone say no.
Buddy, I've always been so generous with people that I was like, you know, everybody said, like, Justin, you have to raise prices. You have to raise prices. And the thing is, like, in my business, like, I think it's absurd how long people take to fix things that, like, for me, just feel easy. Like, aggression cases to me are so goddamn easy. And like, on my hourly, instead of doing it by hour, I was like, I always spend more time with these people because I'm like, we're working until I see what I want to see, which doesn't mean that I can do it. It means you walk away from here being like, holy shit, that I learned something. And like, I know what I'm doing until I see you the next week. And I realized, I was like, I'm giving away like what another trainer like that would charge the same rate would take 10 times longer to do. And I was like, that's like, at a certain point, like, you really have to value what you're doing, man. And a lot of people have trouble like asking for the money. And I'm not talking about like being greedy. I'm talking about like asking for what you deserve. That's been a lesson for me. That's like, because it's like, you're working with animals, especially if they're rescue animals, you want to help them. Like, you love these, but at the same time, it's like, you know, where I was like, well, wait a second. I do good things with good things. Like, a lot of, like, I put money into my own charity. You know what I mean? I don't take a salary from it. And it's like, I was like, wait, my intentions are good, where it's like, I'm like, I deserve to make this much more. Like, I deserve to live comfortably and be like in good mental health, because you stress out when you're not financially okay, dude. Nothing has like caused me more stress over the years than like times where like finances have been tight. Nothing.
I agree. Justin, you came, you saw, you dropped the hammer of the gods, man. We appreciate it. And I, you know, it. Just when I didn't think I could love you more, I find more amazing things about you. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And you're so funny and you're doing great things. So one more time, where can they find you?
For all the comedy stuff, it's at I Am Justin Silver on all social media platforms, Himbo's podcast, me and Josh Adam Myers. And then if you're into the dog stuff, it's The Language of Dogs everywhere. Website, social media, YouTube, all that stuff.
He truly is the Jamie Foxx of Jews, everybody. He is multi-talented. Fucking superstar. We appreciate you coming on, guys. There, Justin, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, fellas. Thank you.
We just can't quit Justin. So So a great interview, great guy. Couldn't be happier for him. He's crushing it. Thanks for doing the show, Justin Silver. Okay, let's get into it. Howie, pick of the week.
All right, so last week, my pick of the week, BABA Alibaba. It was trading around 81. It closed today at 88. Hopefully you guys bought some of Baba, because I think it's still going to go higher. Pick of the week. Guys, I'm sticking with oil right now. I like Oxy. O-X-Y. Not the Oxy you chew or snort. The actual petroleum company that Warren Buffett owns. It's trading at 58.21. Looks like it's bottoming out right here. I love oil and energy right now. I think it's still got room to go. I think this thing goes up to 70. It's at 58. Buy the shit out of OXY. It's a good company, man.
All right, guys. Now we're going to go over to the exclusive Cash Tags Patreon. We'll see you over there. Guys, go to samtribbley.com for all of your ticketing needs. Hopefully somebody in Mississippi hears this and buys a ticket to my show. I will talk to you guys soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.